I personally never studied with Elise Timmerman, but a very close friend of mine, somebody who I respect a great deal, Dr. Malcolm Smith, has attended a number of Elise's seminars and raves about her as a homeopathic educator, but also as somebody who is an excellent, excellent homeopathic practitioner, prescriber, and somebody who's able to really communicate her skills, her talent in homeopathy so that other people can duplicate her own success. She really is one of the pioneers of homeopathy. She was originally trained as a research biochemist. She later on took a degree in naturopathy, specializing in homeopathy, and she studied intensively with people like George Vitulkis, Vasilis Gagas, many other people, and she also established the Hahnemann Institute in the Netherlands in 1988. Elise will be offering a seminar, an international seminar, in the Netherlands, and we believe the starting date is June 28th. That's an 8-day seminar, and if you want more information about that, you can visit Elise's website, which is www.hahnemanninstitute.nl. NL stands for the Netherlands, Nancy Larry, NL. But be careful, Institute is spelled the Dutch way, so it's INSTITUUT. So www.hahnemanninstitute.nl. And you probably, even if you're not going to be attending any of Elise's seminars, you'll probably want to visit that website, as Elise has posted some very, very excellent articles about homeopathy. So again, Elise, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule, and we're looking forward to an exciting interview with you. I know you had suggested the topic for tonight's call being the homeopathic treatment in menopause and hormonal conditions. So just curious, how are the results? What have you seen in terms of homeopathic treatment in menopause?
What shall I say? I think we have very good results, but I also would add the infertility problem in many, many young women, which is related to the menopause. Mm. So the whole my issue there is the whole hormone disbalances we are facing, and of course the relation with cancer here, which is what do you say in English, raising more and more. One out of five of us will have cancer in 1 to 5 years. Mm. And as we see in the homeopathic community in the Netherlands, we're losing colleagues every month on cancer. Mm. And we are with, so to speak, I think 300-400 homeopaths. And every month, one of us is dying. Mm. So I think there is a lot to do for us there, because it's all the cancers in women, the breast cancer and so on, is mostly related to hormonal development. Mm. So that's, for me, is not especially menopause. For me, is the question is, how can we cure this in a way that we save these people? Mm. Because it has many, many, there are many, many ideas behind it. But anyway, the disease is becoming more and more. So
Elise, are you treating a lot of hormone-related cancer in your practice?
Yeah.
What are you seeing? I mean, what are you finding?
Well, breast cancer is one of the biggest one, and cancer of the uterus, of course. Mm-hmm. Well, I would like to say, when we can witness the deepest problem in this person, there is a possibility that we can help them.
Mm.
And in cancer, that can be tremendously, tremendously difficult, because deeper problem behind it is usually that is hided by the cancer miasma, so to speak. And as soon as you can have the experience that everything comes to the light, to the consciousness, then there is a possibility we can help these people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And as in homeopathy, the question is not always if somebody can survive, but with homeopathy we also have the possibility to bring somebody on the what I call the life path, or the path you are on, and then if you stay alive or if you die, that is not that is the outcome for the patient to decide, not for us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing with the what I could say with the best remedy that you bring the patient back into his path where he's on. And that, I think, is where we should look at. The other side, I want to say, you don't arrive there alone with homeopathy. You need to use other things also.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the same in menopause, in transformations during menopause, because as you said before, I'm also a scientist from my background. I did a lot of research, and in these transformations we are just missing out certain minerals and certain vitamins which the body cannot produce any longer with the food we are eating and so on. So you need also to have a look at that side. And my main worry for homeopathy is that people don't tend to do that.
Mm.
And in England, I was in a very big research project in England, and they presented on a seminar of the Society of Homeopaths in London. And they could do, if you added just certain things to the food and certain vitamins, they had, I think the result was raising, was better, 40 to 50%.
Mm.
And if you don't do that in classical homeopathy, we're just losing our patients.
Mm.
And it's just scientifically proved. I think they looked at, I think it was 300 cases. And it's very good to study that, to look at that. And also from that I also understood that the nitricums are a very important group of remedies to look at.
Mm-hmm.
And that I could take from the scientific research is what was missing in the transition from the hormones. And then also what I would like to say is that like 10 to 20 homeopathic remedies should be made from the most important hormones.
Mm.
We did in the Hahnemann Institute, we did 10.
Mm.
And using them, and that's helping the basic homeopathic remedy in this process.
Mm. Have you proven these hormones? These the ones you're talking about?
Yes, we did a few of them, and we looked at adrenalinum,
mm-hmm.
and we looked at hypophysinum, which mm-hmm. is... Which
those have been proven before, though.
They have been proven
by Julian,
before.
And Julian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We did not really prove them. We used them a few times. And estrogen.
I'm sorry?
Progesterone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And cortisone is very important.
Mm-hmm.
And they have quite interesting pictures.
So, Elise, when you're using these, are you using them based on their symptoms or their indications,
no.
or are you using them as a support of the more chronic remedy? How are you using these?
In the last way.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, because and then in very low potencies in a C9 or a C12,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and just we give that remedy after.
So to speak,
1 week after the, what did you say, the constitutional remedy?
Yeah.
And some of them, like folliculinum and hypophysinum, be used apart from any remedy, only as constitutional remedies, because these remedies we know already a lot better.
Right.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
And that is also what will be talked about in the seminar in Hawaii extensively, how you must use these remedies.
Mm-hmm. And so you're seeing really an improvement using these as a support for the more chronic remedy then.
Yeah,
very interesting.
You can think about it as a nosode in this way.
Like an intercurrent or something.
Yeah, or intercurrent remedy, as you say. Yeah. And I really, really think we are there quite behind in homeopathy.
Mm.
Or not, maybe I should say we in the Netherlands, in the group I'm working with, but I don't know others in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But another remedy which is important there is DNA, and there we did a foolproofing of that DNA of the herring there.
Mm.
Yeah, and also it's interesting to understand that the sea remedies play the main role in these problems.
Mm. Very interesting.
Like salmon, and salmon is important, and herring, as I said, and what is that? What is this big fish? This scary big fish? Is that
shark?
Shark, yeah.
Yeah, the one that was proven by recent proving. By Melanie Grimes.
Yeah, very very appreciated proving that one. Yeah,
very,
very,
very
important proving. Yeah.
So, Elise, you mentioned nutrition, and I'm just curious because, you know, I really agree with what you said in terms of the need to use nutrition and other natural therapies in conjunction with homeopathy. And,
yeah.
I mean, it's part of the Organon. You read the Organon, and he has all these recommendations for hydrotherapy and all kinds of different things, and yet it seems to me that a lot of homeopaths get focused just on homeopathy and they don't want to do anything else. And so I really appreciate you saying that. Can you give us some specifics of what you have been doing nutritionally with this particular group of patients?
It's a little bit different in each patient, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But when we go back a little bit to the menopause, we know that in the food is not the right nutrition anymore when we think about osteoporosis. I think it's 90% of all of us women who starts osteoporosis at the age of, so to speak, 40, 47 or something. Can you imagine 90%? And the death is the second death nowadays, is
second
osteoporosis.
Highest.
Yeah. So it's nearly close to cancer. It's the first, and then the second is osteoporosis. Can you imagine? And people don't believe it when they read about it. But it's true. So why is that? It's because, many, many reasons behind. Anyway, this is not what you can really change by a homeopathic remedy.
Mm.
So you need to give a group of vitamins and digest in English, to transform that in the body. You need certain omegas to transform these vitamins, and that it comes in the right place in your body.
Sure.
And so if you only take that vitamins, nothing happens. You just lose them again. So you cannot say okay, or you cannot say I take extra calcium or something. You need to take calcium together with vitamin E and K and D and magnesium and zinc and chrome. Otherwise, the body is not taking it up.
Sure.
And so I have a whole kind of way of working with it. And And you will see when you do that, that the homeopathic realm, after a while, when women has taken that, and when you give them a good homeopathic remedy, it works much better.
Mm. Yeah. I'm curious, Elise, since we're specifically talking about osteoporosis, I know one of the factors that nutritionists oftentimes look at is too much phosphorus in the diet. And, sodas and animal proteins. Is this something that you work with at all?
Yeah. That's very important because if you eat too much meat, you get many, much, much more flushes of heat also.
Mm.
So you need to change that. You need to to go over and not drink, for example, milk also anymore. That's not good. And many women start drinking more milk during menopause.
Right.
Which is make it worse.
Right.
So you need to take extra soya. That's very important, and good soya products.
Right.
And I was quite disappointed, 15 years ago in homeopathy, I treated many women with flushes and things like that. And I didn't have really good results. And I always thought, well, maybe it's not a good remedy, or maybe this or that. But it often goes in a separated process from the homeopathic remedy.
Right.
So if you do just a few things and advise the woman to do that, to do like a little bit more exercise, to take some soya and things like that, the flushes can already diminish.
Mm.
Yeah, and if you then give the real good homeopathic remedy, it changes, it helps. And I was very impressed by the scientific research that showed that even women who are eating good food and really good vegetarian food and things like that, the levels of certain minerals were not even coming to the right standard.
Mm-hmm.
So it isn't... It's just proven, and even that gives the possibility for much more cancer.
Mm.
And that was very impressive to hear. So I will bring that research with me for everybody to see in Hawaii and show that. For example, if a woman do that, and for example, you give remedy like magnesium carbonicum, which is also...
Which one, magnesium carbonicum? Is that what you said?
Magnesium carbonicum or magnesium nitricum, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And if you give that remedy after that gives just amazing results. So the whole nitricum group is coming up. And
so you're saying you're finding the nitricum group a lot in, specifically in... women who are getting cancer based on hormonal imbalances, is that correct?
So and also in infertility.
In infertility as well?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, very interesting. So more than just nitric acid.
So infertility is relating to the whole pregnancy and is related to the menopause later on in life there, you know.
Sure.
Yeah.
So could you give us some indications of when you would know to give one of these nitricums? Like, how would somebody know that somebody needed, for example, nitric acid or magnesium nitricum? Or is there a certain idea or theme that runs through this nitricum that will help us to identify when it's indicated?
Well, a few little things. It's interesting to understand when a woman is pregnant, and when the fetus has to come out, the nitricum levels are changing a lot in the body to produce this big hormonal changes. So in the woman feel the levels are changing into much higher levels in the blood. And that's why you often also get high blood pressure, which is very, very related to all the nitricums, but also to glonoinum, which is a nitricum also.
Sure.
Yeah?
For people who don't know, that's nitroglycerin. It was proven by Constantine Herring.
Yeah.
Or glenoinum. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Glenoinum. Glenoinum. And
my American accent.
Yeah, so the pressure in the body, in the lower part of the body, is much lower than in the, you know, in the chest.
Sure.
So there is a change of pressure. And that same process is also, you will also see in menopause. And that's a nitricum element. And that gives tremendous nervousness and feeling that things go out of control.
Mm.
So tremendous emotional disbalances.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and because the emotions are going out of control, there is a tremendous want of control.
Mm.
And that is giving the woman or a man also tremendous tension. And when you look to calcium nitricum, which is, you know, a very interesting remedy, it has all the calcium problems like the stoffwisseling, the calcium problem is also the problem of the bones, the osteoporosis, that the blood takes all the calcium out of the bones and that the bones are getting weaker.
Mm.
And that gives, on a mental, emotional atmosphere, the feeling that you get fatter and that you get just weaker in your bones. And the nitricum element is that the nervousness and anxieties which goes together with it, and the tremendous feeling of flushes and heat and things like that.
Mm.
And what you also see in the nitricum aspect is the anger, which is alternating from silence and sudden anger and things like that, and irritability and all these things. So there is, because there are a lot of changes taking place in the body, there is a tremendous want of control on the other side. And then this feeling that everybody is seeing what is happening to you, and that gives a tremendous shame, and you want to control that and to hide it. That is a typical calcium element in natrium nitricum. And magnesium nitricum, they are just, you know, you can look it up. That's just kind of different atmosphere.
Mm.
But in magnesium, which is magnesium comes up when you feel that you are not part of a certain, how you say, social group anymore. And that is also a part of the transition. You want to be alone, but on the other side, you want to be part of a group.
Mm.
And that change, and that goes with sudden changes, that's nitricum also, the suddenness.
Mm.
And on a physical level, similar things are happening. That's what I mean. In nitricum, you see pressure in your body, and low pressure and high pressure and alternating. And that gives sudden high blood pressure and then low blood pressure and things like that. And the nitricum element is also strongly related to the thyroid and the adrenal glands. And much stronger even as iodium. So when you study the whole hormonal interchanges in women, you will find out that the nitric elements plays a very, very important role there. So that's just, when you know it, when you understand it from a biochemical point of view, you also start understanding what kind of remedies are relating to that.
Mm. Very interesting.
Yeah, so, that's why I say the body just tells you the remedy anyway.
Sure. So I just want to make sure I understand you. You're basically saying that the remedies that have a component of nitrogen or have this nitricum component, aside from having these issues with pressure and blood pressure and I guess this explosive quality, that you find them very commonly indicated in these conditions of cancer associated with hormonal imbalances. Am I correct in is that what you're basically
Yeah, but do you can in fact you can, from a classical homeopathic point of view, you can never say this group are more important to cancer or death.
I agree with that 100%.
You understand?
Yeah, I agree with that.
So I first want to say again, I want to repeat again, that if you find the deepest conflict in the patient, and when that can be expressed in the therapeutic relationships, then already healing can take place. So that is tremendously important, that the problem can be what I called witnessed, can be heard, can be that we listen to it. And when that comes to the surface, already things are changing for the patient. So on the side, I want to say you cannot only heal with one homeopathic remedy. That's really, really proven now. It is good. Yeah. We need to do a few things on the side.
Sure.
And these things are not difficult to do.
Which things aren't difficult to do? Oh, the accessory things, nutrition and exercise and all of those items.
No, they're not difficult.
Elise, for the benefit of the people on the call, I think I understand what you're talking about, but some of them may be at different levels in their homeopathic education or studies or practice. Could you clarify what you mean by resolving this deep conflict in the patient, and maybe even give an example so that the people on the call can understand a little bit better what you're talking about, because it may not be clear to them, and I just want to make sure it is.
Okay, I give a short example. Well, it can never be short, but anyway.
Okay.
I try to make it short.
Okay.
There was 2 weeks ago, a woman came to me from England, and she had a breast cancer. And she did chemotherapy and operation and things like that. And suddenly the cancer came back in a few hours. And that's why she came also to me. And I was just listening to her story. And first of all, it's very good to ask your patient what she really expects and wants from homeopathy, from what you can give her. So when you ask the patient that, immediately it's clear what path he wants to go on. And from there, you talk about the anxieties and all the feelings which are related to that. And then you ask what I did with her. The cancer, in fact, was exactly the same as what her mother did to her when she was a young girl. And she, by taking an extensive interview, you must understand what the cancer is telling the patient. And you must, what we say, love the cancer. Because the cancer, in fact, is an answer on a level which we, of course, from a healthy point of view, we don't like to see.
Mm.
But the body is telling us something and goes and shows what is happening. And if that can be witnessed, if I mean by witness, if we can listen to that with a not listening like listening to a neighbor, no, listening with a professional insight. That's another way of listening.
Mm.
And that's listening with understanding what is happening. And the cancer for her was that it took away her base of life.
Mm.
Yeah? Well, that can a cancer never do.
Mm.
But then, where is the cancer? It's in the breast. And what does the breast mean for somebody? Yeah? So, what is the breast doing? It's nurturing.
Mm.
And then, it's not possible anymore. Or it does it in a strange way, in a diseased way. So why? These questions you simply can ask. And then you come to, then an answer is coming. And when that is coming, the case is open. It's opening for healing. Because the body only is choosing that direction because it cannot choose another direction, a more or more healthy direction.
Right.
That's just so simple as that.
Very interesting.
And in Germany, I heard it. I gave a seminar. I like to tell you, I gave a seminar at the Hahnemann House in Torgau, where Hahnemann worked on the organon for 20, I think he lived there for 13 or 15 years, or 20 years, I don't remember, the longest of his life. He has moved 40 times in his life. Did you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, they found his house, and we are organizing seminars there to raise money to restructure the whole Hahnemann House there in Torgau. It's close to Berlin. And anyway, why did I tell you this? Anyway, when we were in this house, you really could feel what had happened there. The house was from 1600, and Hahnemann lived there in around 1820, I think. He was working in the morning, and in the afternoon he was writing to his international patients. And he was writing there the organon, which took him 23 years.
Right.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Elise, I know that, maybe you could just quickly, I know you've been using C4 potency.
All right. I'd like to tell you something about it.
Before you answer that question, though, could you just explain for people who don't know what C4s, what those are, and then explain them how you've been using them with these hormonal cancers?
Yeah. Let me see. We triturate remedies, as you can read in the organon and in chronic disease. Yeah, and Hahnemann triturated it up to C3. And then he did it, I think he did 1 hour trituration, and then he had C1, and then another hour he had C2. With a mortar and pestle, and you take some milk sugar, and you take the substance, and you just grind. And the C4 is only 1 hour more trituration. In fact, that's just a name. That's just a way of saying. But it gives the substance a deeper, a more broader information. You know, the remedies just carry information. That's just what a homeopathic remedy is. So it's just one step more, and all these remedies are made by hand, and then you potentize them up to C30, as you know, and C220 and C1300, and that is just where they found out in Germany there is the biggest frequency, the biggest action of the remedy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just seen from a technical point of view. So as we understood from this is that a 1300 potency gives the patient a message on a more spiritual level, a message to change, so to speak. And that's on a more spiritual high level. As also Vituka said, on the higher potencies are working more on a mental emotional atmosphere. So that is not, you know. And as we experience, these remedies have a little bit more potency, how you say it? Potence? To go a little bit deeper. They have a little bit deeper effect on the spiritual level, as I already said before on the, what we could say, the life path or the purpose or this level. Mm. And the level where you don't think in good and bad anymore, where you can just observe yourself.
Mm.
Yeah? So if you treat, for example, somebody with cancer, you give... well, this is quite a story. Somebody is with cancer confronted with a situation where he or she finds himself in. So you give first a high dose to give for to give a push on the spiritual level, the mental level also, you could say. And then after we give low potency, after 2 weeks, to work on the emotional level. And that is a kind of different prescribing. I know that other, also other homeopaths have done certain things like this, mm. but that is what we have done lately.
Sure.
So you give a high potency for the transformation, mm. yeah? And you support that potency with a potency which works more on the emotional level.
Mm. Interesting.
Because in, for example, cancer or menopause, you go faster. You have to go faster to a transition. So you need to support the higher dose with a low dose. Also made from the C4, because the C4 have a little bit more possibilities to work on a broader, how you say it in English? Broader
is correct.
Yeah, broader scale. But believe me, you read many cases in homeopathic links or in other books or where it's also seen that high potencies work on these levels, made from the C3, made from the, so to speak, normal titrations. So that is the whole exploration, and we have some good results here. But this is lately what we had been doing. Yeah, and so that's a little bit different from what other people are doing.
Mm. And Elise, I'm curious, how did you decide to try the 4C, and have you thought about trying the 5C?
Yes, all the miasmatic remedies are made from the C5.
Mm.
Why? Because that is then you don't treat the person on an individual level, on a personal level, no. You treat his genetic background. Mm. You treat the body which he got with him by the birth, yeah? And that means that you treat then with a miasmatic remedy, you treat the miasma. And what is a miasma is, well, there are many ideas about miasmas. But one is that you have, you get certain material with you with this body, while your mind probably wants something else. So that gives a conflict. Yeah, that's the Medorhinum conflict, that's the Sorhinum conflict, that's the Siflinum conflict. Yeah? Mm-hmm. So you are confronted through your body with a difficult situation. Yeah? Mm. And that's a C5 idea, so to speak.
Mm.
Yeah? So that's another kind of philosophy.
So when you give the nozodes, you're always giving it with 5C?
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Because, well, you asked me the other question, why do you do that?
Yeah.
In fact, I came to it because I had some cases and then they didn't come forward. They were not getting better.
Mm.
So one of my students, in fact, who had studied with some people in Germany, said, well, you should really try this. And then I got such an amazing results in cases where I did many. In one case, I used all the potencies, like 20 different potencies from the same remedy. I knew the remedy was right, and I couldn't find the right potency. So, and then I used all the potencies from different pharmacies. I did everything, and there was no result. And then I took only one remedy from this pharmacist, and then it was in a few hours it all changed.
Oh.
So they said, well, now you open up your eyes, my student said to me. It was a very interesting experience.
Huh, very.
So, and then I went to this, I visited these people in Germany, and I saw how these remedies were made, and it was amazing. It was an amazing experience to see how they made the remedies. And it is so tremendously, with such a tremendously, how you say, talent, how they make the remedies.
Mm.
So I just started to try them out in cases where I got lost, where I knew the remedy was right. For example, Pulsatilla I will never use from another pharmacist anymore, because I got in children with that remedy such a good results.
Mm. You know, it reminds me of what you were talking about. It reminds me of the story that, you know, where E.B. Nash, who had paralysis, and he prescribed for himself Lachesis, and it didn't work. And so he went to see Adolf Lippe, and Lippe gave him a remedy, and he wouldn't tell Nash what it was, and it cured him of his paralysis. And when Nash went back, he said, well, what remedy did you give me? And Lippe said, well, I gave you Lachesis. And he said, Lachesis? He said, but I took Lachesis. And Lippe said something like, yeah, but you didn't take it high enough. So, you know,
yeah.
Same kind of example.
Similar story,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this has been a wonderful call. I have a million more questions to ask you, Elise, but I want to give other people an opportunity. So I'm going to unmute the lines and let some people ask questions. Before I do that, though, let me just remind people that Elise Timmerman will be coming to the United States, will be going to the Big Island of Hawaii, and is going to be teaching from February 20th through the 25th. The seminar is entitled Transitions as a Source of Strength, and as you can see from the interview so far, Elise is a wealth of knowledge and a very excellent homeopathic educator. If you want more information about that seminar, you can call toll-free 877-850-5078, or you can send an email to seminars@homeopathywest.com, or you can simply visit their website at www.homeopathywest.com. Also, Elise will be offering a seminar in the Netherlands, an international seminar, starting around June 28th for a period of 8 days, and if you want more information about that, you can visit her website, which you probably want to visit in any case. It does have a lot of useful and valuable information on homeopathy, and that website URL is www.hahnemanninstitute.nl. Be aware that institute is the Dutch spelling, which is I-N-S-T-I-T-U-U-T. So www.hahnemanninstitute with the Dutch spelling .nl. Okay, Elise, thank you, and let me open it up to the general audience. Can
Hello?
People hear me?
Yes.
Yes. Anybody would like to ask Elise a question?
I would actually like to ask a question.
Go ahead.
I'd like to find out, since there's such a shortage of any good supplementation in the soil in general in most countries, couldn't there be a potentized version of the biochemical substances of the body?
Elise, did you hear that question?
Yeah, that we could try. Hello?
Yeah, Elise, go ahead.
Yeah, I think, sure, we could try. Yeah.
Okay.
Given that there's such a shortage and so many people are deficient in, you know, the right levels of all the vitamins, minerals, oils, etc.
Away from homeopathy.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to interject for a second. I mean, it seems to me that you know, no matter what you do with homeopathy, and I think Elise has been expressing this, is that if we have poor soil because we're using chemical fertilizers and we're not putting things back into it, that represents an obstacle to cure. And unless we heal our soil and we heal our food, you know, there's only so much that homeopathy can do. And I guess, Elise, you would agree with that.
Yeah, of course I agree with that, but we need to help a little bit there.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Other questions for Elise?
Yes, the C5 I wanted to know. The C5, is it that like C3, C4, C5?
Yeah.
So that C5
especially
is the...
You triturate up to the C5 and then you potentize to C30, 200 and 1300, okay?
So, but we can't do it. We have to go to the homeopathic pharmacist.
Yeah?
Who's making C4s and C5s, Elise? Maybe that's a...
Labo Pharma in Berlin.
Who?
Hi.
Say it again.
Labo Pharma in Berlin.
Beau, like the French word Beau, B-E-A-U?
Labo and then Pharma,
P-H-A-R-M-A.
Yeah.
But the Labo is L-A-B-E-A-U, is that correct?
Yeah, and they can also find, I think, the address on my website.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Did everyone hear that? So
if anyone has difficulties, you can ask me and I can help you out.
If you go to the Hanuman Institute website, you can find that.
Is it the nozodes have to be made in this way?
That's what Elise was suggesting, yes.
Nozodes, yes.
Pharma.
Yeah.
And so how to get to this address? How to get you?
You can go to her website, Krishna.
For number?
No, you can go to her website, Hanuman.
The website, you can find
go to
it.
Her website, you can contact
yeah.
her.
Yeah. And otherwise you can send a message there and... And then I think it's on my website where you can order them.
It is HahnemannInstitute.ln?
.nl. Nancy
NL.
Larry. It's for the Netherlands.
Yeah.
Uh-huh, I know.
Okay. All right, other questions for Elise?
Hi, Elise.
Hello.
Hi. I have a question. If a patient has come and they're suffering from... maybe deficiency in certain minerals, maybe pollution from the air. If you make changes, to what degree do you have to prescribe the remedy once it helps them make changes to their life? Or is the picture that they're presenting with part of the homeopathic remedy that they need?
Elise, did you hear that question?
Yeah, I hear that. So... that picture can be part of the homeopathic remedy, what they need, for example, petroleum. Yeah? So for example, when somebody is poisoned by benzene or petroleum or things like that, it is possible that you come to that picture. Petroleum, by the way, is a remedy for autism and a remedy for... where the child is having a kind of hardness and unemotional stages and eczemas and things like that, and it relates. In fact, we are living in the petroleum age. Everything is about all the fights and wars are around the benzene, the petrol. So that's a big miasma, of course, in our times. But you also have to take that person away from that allergy, from that influence from the outside. That's also what Hahnemann said.
Sure. Elise, are you aware that Richard Pitt and the Pacific Academy of Homeopathic Medicine had just done a recent proving of petroleum? They reproved it?
Ah, that's nice. If because we also did it, huh?
You did it as well?
Yeah.
You might want to contact them just to explain.
I will talk about that in Hawaii also, because it's a tremendous important substance, because it's big. It's really big and scary.
Sure.
But just short, it's for hardness. It's like an acadium state, and it's about complete indifference to another one. There's complete no sympathy or empathy or whatsoever.
Mm.
And there's hardness and war and fight. It was a very scary proving.
Mm, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll have time for one more question. I'm going to unmute the line. So just one more question.
Alice?
Go ahead.
Hello?
Did you use the petroleum for autistic children?
Yeah.
Oh.
And hardness and, you know, the patient can kill without any conscience. So it's really...
It's like the people who run the petroleum industry now.
Exactly. Think about that. And think that all the wars are around benzene. So also the war in Iraq, as you understand.
Sure.
Yeah? It is the big transformation we are in. So what helps us there is Ambra Grisea and the sea old animals.
Ambergris is the sperm whale people, for those of you who don't see discharge, the rectal discharge from the sperm whale.
Yeah, but in Ambra Grisea, you see that a sensitivity comes back in the patient. It's bringing back the emotional sensitivity. So that's why it's so strongly in relation also to petroleum. They are complete opposite of each other.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I think we have time for one more question. So does somebody want to have one more question for Elise? Here's your golden opportunity to ask.
Yes, I want to ask one more.
Okay, go ahead.
It's about osteoporosis especially. Is that osteoporosis, you said that soya product and what else you suggested?
Soya, and you need to take vitamin E and K, and you need to take the, what is the name? Omegas, and you need calcium, magnesium, chrome, and zinc for the osteoporosis. Yeah.
But they usually come in the multivitamin tablets. This calcium, magnesium, and zinc.
Yeah.
Good vitamin.
Yeah.
And omega.
Yeah, and not drink coffee, because coffee takes away the calcium from the bones.
And milk also, you said it's no good.
It's not at all good, no. And who are you?
I'm Krishna. Actually, I suffer from quite a severe osteoporosis.
Oh.
I'm 76. But only what I was wondering...
Maybe I will put that all together on my website also, so everybody can take it off.
Great.
Sure.
Yeah. Great. That should be good to do.
Yes, if I can.
Yeah. After the seminar, I want to do that. I want to put
on
the website.
I'm going to India in this time when you are coming to Hawaii.
Yeah.
So if there's any later seminar, I will definitely attend.
Well, there's the one in the Netherlands, Krishna.
That's in June.
Yeah.
Then.
Yeah,
but
okay,
I'm thinking about putting that on the website about the nutrition, so you can use it and take it off easily.
Great.
Well, thank you so
much.
Great.
I'm thinking about to do that.
Well, thank you, Elise.
Thank you again. This was a wonderful call. You shared a lot of very valuable information. If everyone on the call could please give Elise a big round of applause and a big
thank you, Elise.
I hope to see you.
And I hope everyone will consider going to Hawaii, because if enough of you go, I'm going. So.
Yeah.
All right, Elise, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.